Springfield's Talk 104.1. It is Thursday, which means it is Author of the Week time, and we get one of the in-studio authors, which is always just a little more fun. And Nicholas, or he goes by Nick, as do I, Daigle is the author. Genesis 6 in the Ozarks, a compilation book on a Christian's perspective of proof that the biblical giants were right in our backyards. Now, that title alone, people listening, it will come as no surprise to you listeners that you were on James Clary's show, correct?
Correct, yes.
And
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and so, in fact, that's how I learned of you, because Sarah was producing the show and was like, oh, this is really interesting. You want to have this guy. She does, every once in a while, she'll steal from James's guest. And so far, she's batted 1,000, because everyone I'm like, yeah, that sounds really interesting. So are you from the area?
So I'm originally from Louisiana, but I came up here back in 2008, mm-hmm. a couple of years after Katrina happened. I came up here to go to SBU school. SBU, and then I transferred down here to go to the School mm-hmm. of Nursing. So I'm currently a nurse at mm-hmm. Seasons Hospice.
All right.
Now,
the issue of giants in the Bible, it's so funny because growing up, this was nothing that was ever taught or we talked about, which seems sort of odd to me, because you try to get kids interested in the Bible. Like, when you're young, it seems like you talk about, I mean, there was David and Goliath.
Yeah.
But you almost just, oh, he was just a really big guy, and yeah. David was a tiny guy. It seems like a real waste of an opportunity to get people interested in this. But
yeah.
for people, and I think even a lot of Christians, may not necessarily even know about giants in the Bible. So maybe we could start with that and then the connection to the Ozarks.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I was the same way. I just thought story of David and Goliath.
Right.
He had a really tall guy. But no, these biblical giants are what they were called with the Nephilim in Genesis 6. there's a view that's really making main headway mm-hmm. that when you look in Genesis 6, it talks about the sons of God and the daughters of man. The idea is that these sons of God were these fallen angels mm-hmm. that came down and made it with daughters of man, which would have been Cain's descendants, and creating these hybrid-like beings. So half fallen angel, right. half human.
Yeah. Which apparently made them bigger.
Yeah. And I mean, and we see this in other mythology too, like Greek mythology. Mm-hmm. You see these little g gods, which most likely were these mm-hmm. fallen angels,
right.
mating with women,
sure.
and creating, you know, mm-hmm. Hercules, and just these, all kinds of different civilizations had stories of these quote unquote demigods.
Yeah.
And that's what I really believe these Nephilim were.
We just got done watching the second season of House of David, and they really predominantly in the storylines there are featured, not just Goliath, but other giants. And to the point that I knew of biblical references, but mm-hmm. it got me even more interested. And it's interesting because I think a lot of times Christians are quick to almost dismiss it, but it's like, I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, it's right there.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, like, even at first, I was like, this is kind of far-fetched.
Uh-huh.
Until I really started delving into mm-hmm. it. But I'm like, is that really not much far-fetched than us believing that the Holy Spirit...
Well, sure. Or anything in the Bible, for that
yeah.
matter.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Jesus
was born of a virgin.
Right. Well, and it is true. It's funny just the things that we become accustomed to and accepting. And if you take all of these things and you're like, okay... Like, how is this one unrealistic to you, yet these other things aren't unrealistic?
Yeah.
To me, they're all kind of in the same mix.
It really is. I mean, the Bible is the supernatural. God is the supernatural meeting us in the natural.
And right, I mean, yeah.
That's the beauty of it all.
We're talking with Nick Daigle, the book Genesis 6 and the Ozarks. All right, so what's the connection to the Ozarks?
So the connection to the Ozarks is, it's interesting because if you look back, and I've talked to James about this at length, mm-hmm. Between the late 1800s to the early 1900s, you have over 800, 900 accounts of anywhere from 7 to 11 foot skeletons being found in burial mounds all across America, all of it being suppressed by government organizations. Mm-hmm. But all of these different accounts were worthy enough that the governmental institution wanted to actually go and take these giant remains to study them. But yet...
Well, okay, so how do we know that that happened, right? Like, people are like, well, I've never heard of this. Is that just internet speculation? How do we know that they were found and that the government said, oh, we want to study this, and then... Well, I mean, you know, because that's what people, you know, they just wanted, like, what sort of, I mean, obviously you've got source material, you're finding information from places. What, is literature?
I
mean, or?
Yeah, I'm looking at old newspaper archives.
Okay, got it, all right.
Okay, sorry, yeah, old newspaper archives. And
I wasn't looking for real deep answers.
Oh,
just,
okay, yeah, sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
You're fine. just old newspaper archives, and these people that were finding these things, they weren't considered kooky back then. They were just regular average
people. Right,
like,
look what I found. Yeah. This is really weird.
I mean, I find it hard to believe that over the course of 60 years, over 1,000 accounts was some big elaborate hoax amongst every single one of those people.
So you're saying that there have been, over a period of time, I guess specifically to the Ozarks, just local town articles like, hey, Jim out that owns the 80 acres over here, look here, you know, pictures of him with these giant bones he found.
Yeah, so, specifically pertaining, there was one article from 1934 found by a Reverend Sterling Newberry of a 7-foot skeleton that was found within a burial mound off of the James River. And it was very interesting in which the skeleton was found, because it was found with 7 other skeletons, and I think the other 7 were just normal size skeletons, like, you know, 5 foot, 5.5 foot for the time. But then there was a 7-foot skeleton, and they were layered where one was facing north south, and the other one was buried on top. Another one was buried on top, east to west, to where they formed the cross, and there were segments of two of the skeletons buried on top of each other, so it ended up being 8 people buried.
Okay.
With the 7-foot skeleton in there. And in the article I found, Sterling Newberry really believed that to be some kind of occultic practice, occultic ritual burial. Then there was another in 1894 off of the Findlay River, just northeast of Ozark. There was another 7-foot skeleton that was found by a Bruce McCord.
So do we know what happened to these skeletons? I mean, of course, that far back, who knows? They may have just tossed them to the side or gave them to the dogs to chew on.
Yeah. So I know that the 7-foot skeleton that Newberry found, he believes that 7-footer had to have been some kind of high priest or someone who was greatly revered, because the other 7 skeletons would have most likely been servants to the 7-foot skeleton.
Got it.
Or the 7-foot person, deity, whatever you want to call them. And they were probably slaughtered and sacrificed to be buried with this 7-footer that was died and buried.
All right. We're talking with Nick Daigle, the book Genesis 6 in the Ozarks. You're a guy that, I mean, you're in the medical industry, you do hospice. So how on earth did just like, as a hobby, to get so interested, and clearly you do research, you're looking up all these old newspaper articles, these archives. Was there something that happened that led you to that, or you just got curious one day?
So, I'm crazy like James Clear.
Okay,
No, really what got me into it was I had just started reading Genesis 6.
Okay.
I had never really truly delved into Genesis. And, you know, I'm reading Genesis 1 through 3, the creation story, Adam and Eve. I'm tracking. You hear that Sunday school. On to the flood. We all hear about the flood. But then there was that one little segment where it just seems out of place. The sons of God going into the daughters of man and creating the Nephilim. And then right after that is where the flood came. So I'm like, all right, there's just these few verses that almost seem out of place. Because God is, in the Genesis 6, it's kind of preparing you for the flood. Then it just has this little excerpt about the sons of God, and then it goes into the flood. So I'm like, I mean, it has to tie.
Right.
So that's really what got me started on this journey. And it was just interesting because as I've started to look into it, I just realized, there's more to this story than just 3 verses.
So did you become interested in the issue itself because of Genesis, as you just laid out. How is it that it got from that to, oh, wait, some of this may be in the Ozarks?
That's a good question. So that's where I kind of got into watching different stuff, like Timothy Alberino is a huge person in this, L.A. Marzulli, Tom Horn, he's actually part of Skywatch, which is just right down out there in Crane. He's passed away since. But a lot of these guys, they talk about a prehistoric civilization of giants that created all these megalithic structures. So we're told the mainstream narrative that all these megalithic sites were built by the indigenous people of that time. But there may be another story where it was actually a prehistoric civilization that built them, and these indigenous groups just moved in to that area where these were at. And a lot of the folklore is that a lot of these sites were built actually by a giant race. So just that connection. And then I started watching Graham Hancock's Ancient Apocalypse.
Okay.
And it was just interesting because that's more of a secular view on an advanced civilization. But it's just funny because as I was watching that, I started tying in these megalithic sites with an advanced civilization. And that's and even in some of the folklore, like I believe the Great Pyramid of Kalua in Mexico, the folklore is that there was giants that built that pyramid before a flood, a global flood, and they hid in top of the pyramid to survive. And then you have the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is a Sumerian origin story, and Gilgamesh was supposedly a giant who built a boat and survived a global flood. And it was just interesting that across all these different civilizations, you have a flood myth. And a lot of these flood myths involve giants and the building of these megalithic sites.
You know, what I've always found to be interesting and just almost counterintuitive is people that doubt, for example, the story of the Great Flood, they will point to the fact that, well, that's a story in lots of different religions. And to me, all that does is increase the likelihood that something like that actually happened. What are the odds that across a world in which you don't have the ability to text someone or pick up the phone and communicate, that you have a variation of that type of story occurring and it not actually have occurred?
Yeah.
So to me, I've always felt that it actually was more validating of the story than less, that you had these other religions telling sort of their version of it.
Exactly. And honestly, even the biblical narrative can describe the different variations.
Sure, you think about it,
because you had the one true flood, which I believe was Noah's flood. And then the next story is the Tower of Babel, where God confuses everybody, changes the language. Well, in that mass confusion, could that have been where the different variations of a flood myth came from? Because these different people were confused and they couldn't remember the one. They remembered a flood happened,
sure,
but they couldn't remember the one true flood story.
Right.
And that's where you get these different variations. And that's just my thoughts on it.
It's a possibility.
Yeah, a possibility.
I like that. It's pretty interesting. Didn't James not once do a documentary, or he was in a documentary looking for giants somewhere, like in the Waynesville area?
Steelville.
Or Steelville?
With Jim Vieira.
I remember several years ago him doing that.
Well, and it's funny because he did a story on the Sterling Newberry, I think about a year ago. And as I'm looking up this Newberry, and Newberry just didn't find the 7-foot skeleton. I mean, he's found, over the course of 4 years, he found a lot of out-of-place artifacts and pottery along the James River, north of Springfield, like stuff that would almost look Aztec in origin. And it really points to it. Like, it wasn't just main clay pottery. It was very ornate pottery.
Yeah.
And I came to learn about James because I seen in 2014, someone posted on a blog about one of Newberry's articles, and James put, "I'd like to get more information on your study of this." Well, this guy never got in touch with him. But 10 years later, I just happened to be on that blog and seen that. And that's when I reached out to James and made the connection. And we kind of put a lot of our research together. And honestly, he was part of the key to help me finish writing
this book. Oh, no kidding. I'll be darned. I had no idea.
Yeah, some of his research.
He is influential.
Yeah. Some of his research spurred on more of my research.
Oh, very interesting. Any final thoughts for folks? Just on the book, what you want them to walk away with, anything? Those that think you're a nut.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Some probably will, but...
Well, I see, you're at defense is the ultimate, though. I mean, especially secular people, but Christians, I mean, what are they going to see? Like, it's in the Bible. What other parts do you think are crazy, you know?
I mean, and my biggest driving force for writing this book, and I write this in the final chapter, is that if giants were real, if they really did roam this land, they did roam the promised land, then that means the Bible's real. It's not allegory. And if the Bible's real, then that means we did have a Savior that went to the cross and died and shed his blood for the remission of our sins.
Well, I think it's really interesting, and I'm really glad that that you came on the show, and I'm glad that Sarah told me about you. And I guess I think there are a lot of people that they never even think about this. At the very least, it's something different and interesting.
Yeah.
And with the ties in, you know, to the Bible and everything, I like stuff like this. Nicholas Daigle, again, the book Genesis 6 and the Ozarks, a compilation book on a Christian's perspective of proof that the biblical giants were right in our backyards. Our author of the week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.